Hey everyone, welcome to Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure. I'm Matt.
I'm Dory.
We're through it, everybody. Not really. But I mean, mostly.
I think we're through the worst of it.
Yeah, so longtime listeners will remember I got COVID last week. Short time listeners, I got COVID 2 weeks ago. Monday was my positive diagnosis.
2 weeks ago today was your waking up with a headache.
Yes. So, yeah. Let's see. What does everybody want to know?
I think people are probably curious about the progression.
Sure. So, you heard about a bit of it last week.
You were still in the shit last week.
I was?
Yeah. It wasn't like your worst. No. I think your worst days were behind you, but like you were still really tired.
Yeah, I would say tired and out of it, like sort of forgetting. I mean, not that I don't always forget anyway. I'm like, good at forgetting. That's the fun of always forgetting. When you have some sort of sickness that knocks you out, people just assume you're fine. There we go. Let me see if I can remember the week. Okay, yeah, so Monday and Tuesday, I was, you know, this is all quarantine in the room. Dory's dealing with Henry writing a book and writing a magazine article.
And podcasting.
And podcasting, all at the same time. She pulled a me, but with additionally taking care of Henry the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, let's all say thank you to Dory for making my life possible and Henry's life. And Beau's life, sort of.
You're welcome.
Beau really is, he was like,
he was not a fair weather friend.
He was not having it. Of all the, I mean, look, the only time he would come see me was at like 11:30 at night after you had gone to bed and he wanted to go out. Then I'd hear him bump up against the door.
Mm-hmm. And that's on the nights that he wasn't sleeping with me.
I can't imagine there were many nights that he wasn't sleeping with you.
Well, towards the end, he stopped sleeping with me. He was like very comfortable on the couch in the office.
Yeah. I think he was just confused.
Yeah, probably.
He was like, whatever. It's not about our dog and how our dog was dealing with my sickness. So the majority of the COVID symptoms, I would say the thing you're all going to have to look out for if you get it is the fatigue, which is real. Like, I was tired for no reason and hungry.
But not just tired. Like, not just like, oh, I need to take a nap. It was like you were fatigued.
Yes.
Like, walking from your office to the house, yes, which is 10 yards, not even. It's very close.
It is really close.
You were, like, exhausted doing that.
Yes. It was exhausting. I don't know why. I mean, I do know why, I guess, right? You're not getting enough oxygen or whatever, but your body's also fighting off the infection. And, like, I was, like, expecting to lose, like, 10, 15 pounds if I got coronavirus.
Because you lost smell and taste, but you were still hungry.
I was ravenous, I would say. I was so hungry the whole time.
Yeah.
Has anyone said this? I haven't heard this.
Someone asked me because, you know, it was very kind. A lot of people sent us food, meals, groceries. But I remember someone being like, wait, is Matt even hungry? And I was like, yes, he is hungry. Like, he can't smell or taste, but he's hungry.
Yeah. And I couldn't smell or taste, but it didn't stop me from craving very specific things
that you then couldn't taste.
Yeah. I mean, look, so I would like to thank the good people at Dunkin'.
You were getting done. That was how I knew you were awake.
Every morning at like 6:30 in the morning, because it was available, and I would get a breakfast sandwich. Mm-hmm. Bagel, cheese, sausage, egg, and a, you know, French vanilla coffee, black or something like that. I got a macchiato. No, not a macchiato. What do they call it? A Dunkachino. I got that once. That's Seems the like thing that mistake. Was mostly full next to the closet, next to my chair. And that was, I'd kick the morning off like that. And then it would be like lunchtime. And I would have like twice I had a crazy craving for a chicken parm sandwich.
Mm.
That was when you saw me order from Numero Uno Pizza.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
It's also, by the way, harder to find around here than you'd think.
Interesting.
Like a chicken parm sandwich that looks just like a, you know.
Right, like a classic.
Like a chicken parm sub you'd get in Boston.
Yep.
So, that I would say, by the way, the Numero Uno chicken parm, they do it right.
Good to know.
Thumbs up.
That's why they're Numero Uno.
Yeah. I remember one of the things I missed the most when I moved out here was Pizzeria Uno.
Mm, sure, sure.
You know, there was that one in Alston, like on Comm Ave.
Mm-hmm.
That one. I missed that one the most, I think.
Okay.
Hi, everyone.
Besides fatigue,
yes.
What were your other
shortness
symptoms?
Of breath.
Yep.
I didn't cough, really.
No.
And I didn't cough because I was controlling my breathing and I was not taking deep breaths. Because if I went deep, I would like hit the gurgle of the lungs and then I would start
But maybe
coughing.
It was good. Maybe it's good to cough to like get the stuff out.
I don't know. I'm here.
I know. I don't know. You also didn't have a fever.
I almost had a fever.
Yeah.
A couple times it hit like 99 something. And then my blood oxygen was dipping to like 96, 95.
Yeah.
And that was a little scary.
But I, you know, early in the pandemic, I'd stocked up on a big bottle of Tylenol rapid release gel caps.
Yes. Which I took every, the two or three times that I felt like I was, a fever was coming. And I never had a fever actually break on me. I never had I never got the fever.
You never got above like 99.1 or something?
No, 99.6 was the highest I saw it. And yeah, it was so, I mean, it was the weirdest thing about it was quarantining in our home and being alone all the whole time.
Yeah. We tried FaceTiming you once and didn't go
again,
so
it
well.
Was because of my whole Apple ID mishaps.
No, I know. But then like we tried voice calling and that like really upset Henry.
Yeah. Henry did not like hearing my voice if he couldn't see me. Which I get.
Yeah.
I mean, you're all listening to it now.
Like really upset.
I bet you're all a little upset that you're hearing my voice.
Henry was definitely confused. He kept asking for you, and I kept having to say that you were resting because you weren't feeling well.
Yeah. He doesn't really know rest.
No, he doesn't.
He's a very hyper baby.
He's high energy.
High energy. So, okay. That was... And then I started to... So the whole thing of like, I could go back to work... The earliest I could go back to work was Friday.
Right.
But in order to go back to work, I needed a negative COVID test. So I went on Wednesday to take a test.
Yep.
They swabbed me. And I said to Dory, I was like, I don't have it anymore. It's going to be negative.
And I was like, people still test positive for like weeks after they have it. Like I was skeptical that he was going to test negative.
Yeah.
Because you also still had symptoms.
By the way, it's funny because when I was like, I have COVID. And then I was like, I no longer have COVID. Like I could tell for some reason I knew.
That's funny.
when I had it and when I didn't have it. So I took a test on Wednesday and it was negative.
Yeah.
Didn't get the results obviously till Thursday. Then I talked to our COVID nurse / coordinator / safety human being / all around good at not spreading COVID person, Julie. I mean, if you think about it, we've had on our show total, we've had 3 positives.
Yeah.
And never has a positive been transmitted at work.
It's amazing.
So I talked to her. I told her about the shortness of breath still continuing, which it even is today. And she said, you know what? You know, she's like, don't rush back. You should take another week. Another 7 days. And I was like, ooh. I said to her, I was like, maybe you don't understand, but I'm kind of a workaholic. And I've been alone in a room for 10 days. She's like, yeah, but you don't want to rush and then, you know.
Exactly. Which is what I kept saying. Like
half
the first
step forward, 12 steps back.
Right, the first couple of days when you were like, I feel bad. I'm not helping you, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you need to rest.
Yes. And thank God that she let me. Otherwise, I don't know. I don't know where I'd be right now. But yeah, so that was Friday, Thursday, Friday. Today is Sunday. I've had bad sleep the last couple of nights.
Yeah.
A little bit of, the problem is when I lay down, then my sinuses fill up. Mm. So when I can't breathe out of my nose.
And this is even with Mucinex.
Yeah. I mean, it's the, I feel it. I feel the the constant sinus pressure.
Yeah.
Like it need, I need to like, I would like to like have it drained by someone. If you know anybody who will do that, maybe Jiffy Lube or something.
Hmm. There's one down the street.
That's true. You can wait in your car. Maybe I can get my sinuses drained in my car. Yeah. So the last couple of nights I've been sleeping terribly. Because if I can't breathe through my nose, my airway will like not work correctly because of sleep apnea, probably. And it just, it makes for a miserable time. So I've been getting up early, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, and going out to the living room to try to like, because it's easier to sleep on the couch. I mean, even though we have a bed that we could just put the back up, mm-hmm. I still don't. I don't want to bother my wife, who is now finally back in her bed.
You can put the bed up. That's the reason we got the adjustable bed.
No, it isn't. We got it because it'd be cool. By the way, that chair. Mm-hmm. So glad that we kept that chair. Mm-hmm. It could have been thrown out 14 times.
From former advertiser Burrow.
Yes, from former advertiser Burrow. That chair. Although I did think about moving the Eames chair, my office Eames, mm-hmm. into there. Mm. And then I decided that I would not. I was like, I'm not going to make it. If I had to carry the chair in, yeah. I'd be like, I can't. I'm not going to make that happen.
Well, we should have at least moved the ottoman.
That ottoman is the best thing. Under here, by the way. Sometimes I put it up here. Mm. I have the ottoman at my desk for some reason. I don't know. Anyway. Sat in that chair. I watched a fuck ton of Bargain Hunt. It's, if anyone wants to stream it, Amazon Prime through IMDb TV.
Sure.
You got to watch some commercials, but sometimes you can trick Prime, the app, into not knowing that you should be seeing commercials.
Oh.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Well, you just watch it on a TV.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. It's interesting. I haven't quite figured out how I get it to happen, but I get it to happen. And then I'm like, all right, I'm locked in. I'm just going to sit here and watch British people buy antiques.
Sweet.
Endlessly.
Yeah.
That's all Dory heard out of The Office,
it's,
I think.
True.
She's heard, either heard that or golf.
Or golf, yeah.
I was playing.
He moved the PlayStation into the bedroom.
Yes, and I was playing PGA Tour 2K21. I treated myself to a few things while I had the COVID. I purchased season 1 and 2 of What We Do in the Shadows, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. digitally. Mm-hmm. I purchased the golf game. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Digitally, I can download this.
Why did you buy What We Do in the Shadows when we were just streaming it on Hulu?
We were streaming it on Hulu in the living room.
There's Hulu in the bedroom.
I know, but I didn't know where if the password was in there.
It is.
And then I was just like, I'll just buy it. I'm going to support the show that I like very much.
Okay, that's fair.
I'm going to give Taika Waititi a little more money and Jermaine.
Fair enough.
Look, it's a craft, you know, making a show that is that funny, and I'm happy to support it. You know, I love getting my occasional WGA checks from the weird people that are buying the Goldbergs digitally.
Yeah.
Occasionally, I'll get like $3, $4. I'll be like, whoa, thanks, whoever. Thanks to 80,000 people that had to buy it for me to get $3. Yeah, so... There, I just ran out of breath. that's where we're at.
Yeah.
I mean, I just, again, I will say, just a marvel of matriarchy in your care of Henry and running the household while I was literally useless.
Thank you, honey. I appreciate that.
I just want you to know that I see you.
Thank you.
And I appreciate everything you have done.
Thank you.
I.e., read about it. Knew what I should be taking. knew what I might expect, because I had no idea.
I mean, as I am wont to do, I had done a lot of research, a lot of read a lot of discussions on various message boards, Facebook,
and was this like
Twitter
even before I had it, or was this
I've been accumulating this knowledge for months,
yeah,
in the, you know, in anticipation of possibly having to put it to use,
yeah.
So, I mean, like, that's why we had the big bottle of Tylenol. That's why we had the pulse oximeter that we now can't find.
Well, Henry, it's one of Henry's favorite toys.
That's why we had Mucinex. That's what, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
we had all that stuff, and I'd been reading about different people's experiences with the symptoms and kind of knew when we were like in the real danger zone. And like that to me was the scariest thing about COVID is like, I'd read about all these people who, like, it seemed mild, and then like day 9, they get like rushed to the hospital.
What?
Yeah. So,
am I out of the woods yet?
Yeah, you. I mean, you should be.
Because I tested negative.
Right, and your symptoms have improved.
Yes.
But no, I mean, between days like 5 and 10, I was very on edge about it. I didn't want to worry you too much.
Sam Lerner was the first person to send something. I just want to say, Jeff Schwartz on the Goldbergs. He sent me those
From Erewhon
shots
every
elderberry, whatever, all these
turmeric
crazy
and
vitamins. No sense of taste, but I could taste that those were bad.
Thanks, Sam.
So that really just jump started it, and then Dory came in with like all these things. And my buddy Andy Mendelson sent out all those things in the single packs.
Yeah, I had the same vitamins and supplements, but his friend Andy sent him like it very conveniently packaged,
and he overnighted it too.
Yeah, which was very sweet.
I was like, wow, okay. Great. So a lot of people were, you know, I feel like I should be writing like handwrite some thank you notes to people.
You could.
Because I'm very appreciative of everyone that tried to remotely help out with Dory while I was watching television.
A few people were like, what do you need? How can I help? And I was like, can you send Mary Poppins? And then our friend Steve sent me Mary Poppins from iTunes.
You know what?
The movie.
I'll take it.
And I was like, that's very funny and very sweet. He's like, I know you can watch it on Disney Plus, but...
The original or the...
The original.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought you might have gotten the Lin-Manuel Miranda one.
No, he sent me the Julie Andrews.
But yeah, that's the COVID update.
Yeah. I think... We haven't said this definitively, but Henry and I did not get it.
Oh, we haven't said the definitive. Dory and Henry have both been tested. Henry was tested in the middle, and Dory was tested twice.
Henry and I tested on Matt's like day 4-ish of symptoms when like there was still a possibility where we could have gotten it for sure. We were not like out of the danger zone at all.
Yeah.
But then I retested this past Thursday, so like 3 days ago.
The first 2 days I was wearing a mask, like in the house even.
When you were quarantined?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, you mean in the bedroom you were wearing a mask? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Because I didn't want to like crawl up an air vent or something.
Yeah. And you know, I had forgotten that, but you reminded me of this last night, that I went crazy during the wildfires and I bought air purifiers for every room in the house.
Yes, we have air purifiers that Henry loves to turn on full blast.
Yes. So we had all these air purifiers going, which like I hadn't even really thought about that. But Matt was like, I mean, maybe that made a difference too.
I think for sure it had to. Like we slept in the same room for at least like I must have been contagious.
For at least 3 nights.
3 or 4 nights.
Yeah.
But that air filter was running the whole time.
Yeah.
And then the big one in the living room.
Yeah, was also running the whole time.
So like when I sat down on Tuesday night and it's you, Holly, Henry,
yep,
and me, that giant air filter was going.
Yeah.
Again. Which, you know, we're conveniently prepared.
Yeah.
Thanks to other natural disasters.
Sometimes my paranoia pays off.
That's right. We have plenty of toilet paper.
All right. Well, let's take a little break.
Okay. BRB.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Whoops. Whoops. Here we go. Actual break. All right. We're back. Dory, you have some emails that we've gotten from some listeners?
I do. We got some COVID tips.
I love COVID tips, and we'll share them with the audience.
Yeah. So this is from Michelle, Matt, and Dory. Specifically, Matt, I just wanted to write in to offer some advice. I saw on Dory's Instagram that Matt has tested positive for SARS-CoV-2. And you all are currently following the Merrick protocol. All great things, but I would also add a baby aspirin daily.
Dory brought that over to me.
Melatonin at night.
Dory brought that over to me.
And laying in the prone position as long and as often as possible.
That's how I naturally sleep anyway.
Twice a day for an hour each time is a good starting point, but honestly, the longer the better. You can put pillows under your chest, hips, etc. if it helps you be more comfortable.
I'm naturally only comfortable in the prone position.
I am an RN working directly with COVID positive patients in a step down department, and doing these things early on really helps minimize length and severity of the illness. Best of luck to you guys.
Yeah, I think we're fortunate that I sleep prone anyway. I sleep on my stomach anyway. Yeah. And yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
But
Michelle.
Also, yeah, the melatonin and the baby aspirin all found their way to the nightstand.
They did. Mm-hmm. All right. I didn't have a chance to prepare this.
That's okay. But, you do enough.
All right. This is from Anonymous. When my husband, 1-year-old, and myself all had COVID at the same time.
Oh my God.
And both had to telework through it because we drained our annual leave on parental leave. We also had to do it while taking care of our daughter and while sick as dogs. And we lived in an apartment building, so couldn't accept help in the form of porch drop-off food, etc. It was 3 weeks from hell, but we did it. You all are in the thick of it and killing it, too. Thinking of you all and sending love.
Oh, my God. I mean, I can't imagine, honestly, all of us getting it at the same time.
I mean, I was really worried about that for a while.
Yeah, I mean,
obviously. That would have been very hard.
That would have been, yeah. I mean, it's apparently possible because it's been done.
Yeah, of course.
But I don't even know.
I don't know. I did, you know, I did hear from a lot of people whose partners had gotten it and they had not gotten it. So that gave me some hope.
Yeah.
That I wasn't going to get it. You know what's also interesting? I was thinking about, I've been taking vitamin D supplements like for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And I increased the dosage once you tested positive, but they do say that vitamin D is a preventative for COVID. Like, okay. There have been studies on this. So I'm just trying to like piece together why I didn't get it, you know?
Well, I think there are a few reasons, and I think that's one of them. And I think, you know, we did take the, you know, after the first night when I got home, and we did bedtime.
Yeah.
That first night.
That's when Henry puked.
No. The second.
No, you weren't. Monday night, you did not make it home in time for bedtime.
No, but the.
Oh, the first night after you tested positive. Yes, you did do bedtime.
I wore a mask. With a mask. And did bedtime.
Yeah.
But I probably shouldn't have done that.
Probably.
But from that point forward, I was like, we should
really be.
Yeah, because Dory was, you know, classic doomsayer Dory. I already have it. Doesn't matter. I'm like, I don't think you do. Let's just not chance anything. And I essentially from that point forward, I committed to the lockdown.
Yeah.
Thank God that we didn't. But I'm just glad it didn't spread.
I am too. And I'm also glad it didn't get really like, it got bad, but it didn't get really bad.
No, yeah, it didn't. Thank God.
You know?
Knock on wood.
Yeah. I feel like people keep asking about it, and I keep saying, what I keep saying is like, ultimately, Matt had a mild case, but a mild case of coronavirus can still totally knock you on your ass.
Yes. Which it did.
Yeah.
Which it did.
And because it's like, it can obviously kill people. When we say a mild case of coronavirus, it's not like, I know some people say, oh, it's just like I had a bad cold, but like you were really sick.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I could, let me say that it's, well, I don't think it was like a bad cold because of the respiratory, what it does to the respiratory system
and the fatigue.
It does not. Well, that's all. I think that's all by virtue of what it does to the respiratory system, where it makes the breathing just labored.
Yeah.
So I don't think, you know. Yeah, I don't. That doesn't. Even the bad flu, you don't feel like that on a flu.
Right.
I would say in a flu, it's more, you know, there's more like nausea and all, you know, this other, like, I couldn't imagine eating if I had a bad flu like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
And I also couldn't imagine not really being able to breathe.
Right. Yeah.
So I would say it's different.
All right. This is from Katie. Hi, Dory, Matt, Henry, and Beau. I'm sure, like many listeners, I was pleasantly surprised to see a new episode this week with Matt's positive COVID test. And everything you're juggling professionally at the moment, Dory. Hope Matt is still doing okay and everyone is healthy, but I especially wanted to send a big thank you to Dory.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're here.
You did an incredible job holding down the episode on your own and keeping all of us eggheads sane with the normalcy of hearing your voices Monday morning. We all would have understood 100% if you had taken the week off to focus on things at home and with your books. So thank you. Thank you for everything you do each week to share your world with us and continuing to do so. In 2,100 square feet in Vermont... with a husband and 25-pound lump of a pug. So far, zero hot dogs in 2021, but 10 in 2020.
Nice.
P.S. My Instagram has been blowing up with Junior GBBO updates. Any ideas if we can watch that in the States? And if so, how? I'll watch anything GBBO related.
I don't know. I've not sought it out. I mean, they do Celebrity Bake Off. They do Junior Bake Off.
I was not impressed with Celebrity Bake Off.
We didn't see a Celebrity Bake Off.
Yes, we did.
No, we saw a Holiday Bake Off.
With celebrities.
Yes, different.
I see.
Very different.
I just feel like it's not that fun to watch people who don't really know how to bake.
I agree. This is the problem with Nailed It.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I don't.
It's like, why watch a show where people are going to be bad at what they're doing?
I love Nicole Byer, but
of course,
I don't find that show to be
not
that
Nicole's fault.
No, not Nicole's fault at all. All right, thank you.
Just the conceit. It'd be like putting me on like a master luthery guitar building competition. I'd be like,
right.
Here's a almost Fender Stratocaster, and then someone builds like a beautiful arch top with flame maple, and I'm like, oh, whatever.
Okay. I mean, I guess that's a good comparison. All right. This is a long question from an anonymous listener.
Okay.
And it is IVF related. So we're shifting gears a little bit. Hi, Dory, Matt, Henry, and Beau, longtime listener, first time emailer. Matt, so sorry to hear you have COVID. We have two family members that have gotten it, both mild to flu-like and both recovered. Hoping for your speedy recovery. And Dory, just listened to your lone wolf hosting this week. Mm-hmm. Great job. It was really nice hearing you fly solo. Quick background. My husband and I have experienced multiple miscarriages. And after the last one, we decided to look into IVF. All during the miscarriages and multiple tests, both with OBGYNs and REs prior to the retrievals, we never had a reason for the losses. We went forward and did two retrievals, both with great results. We were happy, of course, but there's always an edge of frustration when two perfectly healthy 30-somethings continually lose pregnancies with no explanation. We were about to do the first transfer March 2020. Needless to say, everything shut down due to COVID, and 3 days before our transfer, they canceled it. Fast forward to today, we successfully did our first transfer, and I am pregnant.
Yay.
We couldn't be happier. Here's the question that is currently laying on the stress. We did PGS testing on all the embryos, and luckily we have several normal embryos. Now pregnant with a normal embryo, I just recently had the NIPT test and the nuchal translucency ultrasound. The NIPT came back as negative, meaning the baby doesn't have any of the conditions it tests for, so I thought that's great. At nuchal translucency, ultrasound. The doctor said the baby looks normal. Can't remember the exact words, but the baby appears normal. The thing that is bugging me is that there is still a 1% chance or something like that these tests can miss that the baby has something like Down syndrome, etc. I've asked both my OBGYN and the OBGYN that does our ultrasounds, should I do an amnio? They basically said it's up to me. I feel split on it. I would love to know 100% that the baby is fine, but I also don't want to risk getting a test that could result in a miscarriage. My OBGYN said to ask the perinatologist, who does the ultrasounds, to look at my pregnancy and see if they could determine if it's a hard or easy amnio. I haven't asked the perinatologist yet. Dory, I tried to look back on previous episodes to see what your results were on your Panorama test and how you decided not to do amnio, unless you did amnio and I missed it. I have two tests and one ultrasound showing a normal baby, but still I'm feeling stressed about whether I should get that last percent check to be sure. Has anyone else had a normal embryo turn out differently? Has anyone gotten amnio with a history of miscarriage? How does anyone decide this? Any advice or thoughts would be appreciated. I have a couple more weeks to decide. My husband doesn't want to do it, but I just don't know. Thanks for everything. Love the pod. It has given me so many great resources and great advice over the years of dealing with a situation that has been out of our hands. Thanks so much. BTW, we got totally hooked on the Great British Bake Off. Thanks to your recommendations. Loved it. And my husband cannot believe Matt hasn't watched Toast of London yet.
Oh my God.
Tiniest apartment, one husband, baby on the way. No hot dogs for me, but I miss them. Take care, Anonymous.
Well, your husband was a fortunate person for having seen Toast of London. Finished it last night because I didn't have the Netflix password while I was quarantining.
Even though it was saved on my iPad and I could have given it to him at any time.
I could have gotten it out of my office too, and yep. I didn't. Yeah.
Anyway. Anonymous, this is really tough. I totally understand wanting the certainty and to not have that 1% kind of lingering. I personally felt like I felt secure in the Panorama test, which was normal. You know, we knew it was a PGS normal embryo. Everything looked good at the 20-week ultrasound. The nuchal translucency was good. Like, I personally was like, okay, I feel confident about this. I'm not, there were no signs that anything was remotely amiss. And so I felt like I don't need to do the amnio. So I wasn't in your position where it was like eating at me in the way that it sounds like it is eating at you. Now, all of that said, I do know two people who only found out after they gave birth that their babies had issues. I don't know if they were things that would have been picked up on amnios, but at least one of them was an IVF baby who had been PGS tested. So yes, there is always a chance. Like, I don't want to deny that, but I also think the chance is very, 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 very slim. So,
yeah, I mean, 99%. Pretty good odds.
Yeah. I mean, we've heard from people who have been worried about amnios and like...
I guess my question to you is, if you get the test and it says there was X wrong with the fetus at this point, you know, what will you do?
Yeah. Also a good question.
Are you, you know, would you abort? Would you... That's, you know, because if the answer is no, obviously I wouldn't abort the fetus, then there's no reason for you to get the test.
Right.
And also 99%. Pretty good.
I mean, I personally would not do it, but I'm not you. So
also not you, and agree with your husband, not only on this, but also on Toast.
All right. Well, maybe some listeners have some thoughts about this, and let's take another short break.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. We're back discussing a pot pie I put in the oven.
That was sent to us by a friend.
Yes. And it is, I was looking at it today and I was like, this is going to go bad. I better eat it.
Yeah. Good call. All right. This is from Hillary. Dory and Matt, hello from New Brunswick, East Coast, Best Coast of Canada, not New Jersey. I have been listening to every podcast from the beginning, currently in and around September 2017. I didn't think I'd write in, and I'm not even sure if you're still reading emails like this, but I figured I'd use it as a therapy and send it anyway. Our story. My partner and I had never really been trying to get pregnant, but we also never used protection. We never had a single scare. So at the time, I figured it wasn't going to happen, and I had no interest in investigating why. I was okay with it. Then around November/December 2017, I realized my period, which has always been like clockwork, was late. We were pregnant. I was absolutely convinced my body was matching my sister's. We were pretty close. And she was also pregnant from a round of IVF with ICSI, like when periods start to match up. We were scared, but as the days went, the excitement for becoming parents grew and grew. In early January, I had an ultrasound scheduled so they could figure out my date, since I wasn't 100% sure. A few days before, I started to get pretty severe pains, with the day before being debilitating to the point I was on the ground. We went to the scheduled ultrasound the next day. The doctor asked, how far along do you think you are? I said 9 to 10 weeks. And her response was, yeah, I don't see that. Then sent me to the ER with no further answers until the OBGYN came to see me. It was an ectopic pregnancy. I went in for an emergency laparoscopy surgery to have it removed and woke up the next morning to find out they tried that and it was really bad in there, according to the OBGYN. I ended up having to be completely opened up. They removed an ovary, fallopian tube, and a piece of my uterus. Even though before I was indifferent about being a parent, when I was pregnant and thinking of everything to come, it changed me. I wanted that family with my partner. I knew we were meant to be parents and all the emotions came with it. The letdown of getting my period every month, the heartbreak and loneliness at watching friends and family seem to easily have their children, skipping baby showers, making excuses to leave a group at work whose topic of conversation was their kids, all of it. Fast forward, we'd be trying again for about a year and nothing. I had tests, another exploratory surgery, come to find out the remaining tube is blocked and the only course of action was IVF. So we are on the road to IVF, retrieval and transfer in early March if nothing shuts down again from the pandemic. And I have such an amazing support and resource. My sister, whose daughter is a science baby, she is awaiting another FET after a number of losses. We live 5 minutes apart, work in the same area of the city, so get together for walks all the time. And she answers all my questions. She's also a CPA and answers all my financial questions too. How lucky can I be? I'm terrified and nervous, but excited. We can get half.
What does your sister get out of this?
We can get half back the first time up to a max of $5,000. So if it works the first time, great. But even with that, we can probably only afford a fresh transfer if we are lucky to get there, because now my chances of eggs are cut in half because I only have one ovary. I'm so terrified at the same time that we are going to be one of those couples that get no eggs fertilized, always a pessimist, so that when things go well, it's that much more exciting and not as big of a letdown. And then we can maybe afford one FET after that. So I have hope again, but I'm so scared for dealing with everything if this doesn't work. While this journey feels so lonely, your podcast, along with other Facebook pages, etc., does make you realize you really aren't alone. This doesn't necessarily help with the emotional roller coaster that is infertility, but listening to your story and other listener stories is helping me get through all this damn waiting. Anyhow, no real questions. I go to my sister for those most of the time, but just thank you for the hours of this podcast you have provided. Thanks, Hillary. P.S. Fun fact, I'm a librarian and our provincial library system has a few copies of your book. Was thinking I'd read it during my 2 week wait.
I mean, it's more of a summer read, but go for it.
It's a good 2 week wait book.
It reads faster than that, I think. It's a page turner, you know.
It is a page turner.
It's a beach read.
Yep. Well, I appreciate if you read it at all.
I think you should just not read it.
Oh, she wrote in that there's an addendum.
I'm kidding.
She just pre-ordered my new book on Audible.
Oh, Dory, when do you record that? When do you think you record that?
But comes out end of June. I'm going to guess April.
Interesting.
I've always, friends of mine who have recorded their own audiobooks, I've always been surprised at how close to pub date they record it.
Will you go somewhere to do it?
I don't know. I don't know what the COVID, like, I don't know what the COVID protocols are right now.
But, like, I feel like you could just use this microphone. I guarantee you this is what they're using.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
But I don't know how they want to do it. So I guess we'll find out.
It's exciting.
It is exciting.
Maybe it'll be like a Clem Fandango in the booth.
Yes, I can hear you, Clem Fandango.
Dory, can you hear me?
All right.
Toast, guys. Toast.
Okay. We are going to move on from the
.org
IVF portion of the podcast, but we have another
We have another
baby question.
Okay.
Hi, Dory and Matt. I love hearing what an enthusiastic reader Henry is already. My question is, how do you do it? I know babies are born with preferences, but how early did you start reading to him? Is reading something he sees one or both of you doing regularly? I'm currently 22 weeks pregnant with my miracle, no really, one miscarriage, 2 years of infertility, stage 4 cancer with an IVF cycle before, 19 embryos, and pregnant with this little surprise 5 months after finishing chemo. No worries, I'm a little annoyed by my story too. And hoping desperately to make a little bookworm of my own. Lastly, have you guys heard of Dolly Parton's Imagination Library? You can sign your child up to receive a book every month until age 5. However, it's not available in all areas. Dolly is a living saint. Thanks, Julia. Husband and one big brindle mutt and one small brindle mutt. 1,400 square feet in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I think 0 hot dogs between chemo and baby brain. My memory is hot garbage, so maybe not.
Yes, Dolly Parton is a living saint.
Yeah, I agree.
We have been reading to Henry since he was born.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Like really early we started reading.
And we did bedtime together.
Starting at 4 weeks, I think, we started doing bedtime.
Which
included reading books.
And has not changed since.
Yeah.
But that, you know, it was at that point, I could read paper books.
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't take them and try to tear them apart.
That's true.
But now it's board books. He doesn't see us reading because we have to usually just be like, can't take your eyes off of them.
Right. And also I usually read on a Kindle. But they do say you're supposed to be like, you're supposed to read around them to like show them, but we just haven't really done that.
I mean, we do have reading time.
And we have tons of books.
Yes.
I guess my biggest piece of advice is to just keep doing it. Like there will be times when it seems like he's not paying attention or just like not into it.
Obviously when he's or she or they are a brand new infant, they're just going to be like,
yeah, they don't know what's going on.
You're reading to a lump.
Yeah. But I think just establishing that routine is really important. I would say Henry started like showing preferences for books. I don't know, maybe around like 8 months or so.
Yeah. And now it's silly. Now he dictates what order we read them in, when we're done with them, when he's lost interest in it.
He has like very specific books that he likes.
Yes. Right now we're in a corduroy, a book about the solar system. The name I don't remember.
Eight Little Planets. Very Hungry Caterpillar. Bath, Bath, Bath.
Bath, Bath, Bath.
And Oink, Oink, Moo.
And Oink, Oink, Moo. That is Henry's current reading list.
Yeah, his bedtime reading list.
His current nightly reading list.
Yeah, I was reading to him in the playroom this morning because that was like what he wanted to do.
Before he took a header into a menorah.
Yeah, before he fell. Yeah, that was bad, but he's fine. A good piece of reading advice that I once got was if you're reading to them and they just like get up, this is when they're a little older, when they can walk and they start like walking around the room, or they just like don't stop reading. It's not a thing where like they have to be giving you their undivided attention. They are still paying attention when they like leave your lap or whatever.
I stop reading.
You should keep reading. Because a lot of times what they'll do is like, they'll kind of like wander off and then they'll come back.
Yeah.
So,
but he wanders off and he comes back, and then I start reading again.
Yeah, but I think I was told by someone who knows this stuff that you were supposed to keep reading.
Whatever.
The other thing is, don't get too hung up on like, I must read every page or I must read every page in order. Like, there will be a point when they start grabbing the pages and like flipping the pages before you're done reading the page. They might want to go back a page. Just go with it.
Yeah.
Like, you're supposed to just like kind of take their lead.
Child-led reading.
Yeah, exactly. But that, I mean, I think that encourages them. That encourages like a love of reading. All right. I hope that was helpful. All right. We have an update from Sam from Kansas.
All right.
Greetings, Dory and Henry and a quarantined Matt. I hope this email finds you. Sam from Kansas here. Not much to share or update the gang on, feeling the same feelings of nothing new. I ended up spending Thanksgiving alone, hiking and camping in central Colorado.
That's an update.
Yeah. I tested positive for COVID on December 6th.
Whoa.
I'm sure I did not pick it up in my travels because I already returned to my routine before coming down with symptoms. I checked every symptoms checkbox except for a fever. All in all, a shitty experience. I never thought at the age of 23 I would get winded from getting up for a glass of water.
Right? That's crazy.
It's crazy. Interestingly, I found myself figuratively surrounded with support. Plenty of friends and colleagues offered assistance with contactless delivery of groceries and other supplies while I endured a 15-day quarantine in isolation. Matt, wishing you well in isolation while you nurse yourself back to health. If you're looking for literally anything to do, may I suggest puzzles? This was a good activity for me because the more pieces, the more time to spend. I became so sick of television and screens that puzzles became a helpful way to pass the time. After being cleared of COVID, I was eager to escape my apartment. I weighed my options, considered my fresh immunity, and decided to take the Amtrak home for the holidays. This felt safer than passing through an airport. Not much to share in my life. The end of January marks me living independently in a new city for 6 months. If we weren't in a pandemic, I think I would be much more upset about wasting my early to mid-20s here. Also, Henry obsessed with corduroy, rightfully so, the texture. I was also a corduroy kid, and I'm glad to see it's making a comeback. Also, Matt, glad to hear you are a fan of your solo stove. I gifted two in 2020. They make great Sorry I Live Far Away and there's a pandemic going on. Here's a wedding gift. Cheering y'all on in 2021, and Matt, a quick recovery.
Thank you, Sam. I think if I don't know. The idea of like going somewhere, it's appealing to me.
Yeah.
But it's also like, I don't want to rush back into anything.
No, and I don't want you to rush back into anything because I feel like we're still kind of in this precarious mode where you could have not a relapse, but like...
So are you of the school of thought that I shouldn't try to force my way into work on Tuesday?
I am of that school of thought, yes.
Interesting.
I think you should...
I don't know if work agrees with
you. I think you should rest. So, All right, everyone. Listen, this was a delight. We do have some Patreon names to read.
Sorry that she wasn't lone wolfing it today.
I did tell people not
to say. I know. I heard that out the window.
All right. We really do appreciate all you Patreon supporters, and we will be recording two bonus episodes.
Oh my God.
This
that
week.
Has to happen.
Yeah.
Jesus. I got to record so many Star Treks as well.
Yeah.
Look, I love doing the podcast, but just the thought of like, I have to stack them.
Yeah. Oh, well, God. Especially your Star Treks are so long.
Yeah.
For $5 a month, you get a bonus episode and your name read on the podcast each month. For $10, you get two bonus episodes. So thank you to the following people.
Yes. Thank you, Paul Sharp.
Paula.
Thank you, Penny from Massachusetts.
Robert Olson.
Robin Kilgo.
Sabrina Stern.
Sadie Massa.
Sarah Dauberman.
Sarah Prager.
Sarah Friedman.
Sarah Swift.
Sherry Olson.
SJV.
Steve Harcourt.
Tanya Kirchemin.
The Holterman Clan.
The Kembles.
Tracy Jury.
Whitney Hoffman.
Wolf Fox.
Amanda Schramm.
Anon.
Anonymous and Anonymous in Brooklyn.
Ainsley.
Bradley Johnson.
Cheryl Quick.
Christina.
Claire Dealey.
Claire Plouchow.
Crescent Martin.
Danielle Lujafuro.
Deanna McLean.
Eliza.
Aaron Soares.
Gita Drury.
Jane Ennis.
Jennifer T. Brennan.
Jenny Fick.
Jesse Carroll.
Janon H.
Joanna Reinwald.
Caitlin Donahoe.
Kaylee Hendrickson.
Karen Perelman.
Katie Allen.
Katie Lucy.
Carrie L.
Kristen Anderson,
Christine Kelly,
Laura Bennett,
Laura Madge,
Lauren Schultz,
Lisa Bove,
Liz Simmons,
Lynn Nugent,
Madeline McCarthy,
and Mara Foss.
Thank you all so very much.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, everyone. Stay socially distant. Don't get COVID. It's no fun.
Wear your mask.
Bye.